Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, Senior Wealth Advisor and the founder of EIG. And we are located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94, between Highway 164 and Highway F. We're in the Ridgeview Corporate Park. We're also in the Village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank Building, and that, of course, is just directly across from Winkies. Everybody knows where Winkies is. We also have the opportunity to service our clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. And if you would like to put a voice with a face, you can go to ellenbecker.com. I have a guest today, and Catherine Watson, and she is a tax planning advisor for the Ellenbecker tax team, and just want to talk a little bit about that. So welcome to the show, Catherine.
Hi, Karen. Thank you. It's good to be here.
You know, it was, maybe 5 years ago that Julie and I were talking at tax time as to, I think it's even longer than that, we were talking about how difficult it was for our clients to gather all the information, the tax information that they needed. And then, of course, it's kind of right after the beginning of the year, and it's like, well, what kind of planning should we do? And we're not tax people, although we know a lot about tax. We certainly don't know all of the intricacies of tax. And Julie said, you know, Mom, wouldn't it be great if we had our own tax team? And we did that, and we have grown substantially. We are now six tax individuals in our team, CPAs. And I don't know, how many taxes did we do last year?
A little over, I think right around 1,200 tax returns.
1,200 taxes. Mm-hmm. And it has been such an absolute gift. So, you know, I'm one of these people who always wants to share my secret sauce for Ellenbecker Investment Group, because we certainly are appreciative of all the people in the community. But for those advisors who are listening to my show, having a tax team has been truly a secret sauce for us, because one of the struggles that our clients did have was being the middle person with trying to get their tax information to the accountant back to us, to get the taxes so that we knew what some of their investments and what would be beneficial. And then we had to make the phone call to the tax professional in order to confirm what was going on. It was just a zoo, to be quite honest with you, and very frustrating for our clients. Mm-hmm. The minute that we put a tax team in, everything changed. And so when we meet with our clients, Catherine or one of the other tax individuals meets with our clients on a regular basis. And if not, we meet with them before. If there's anything that needs to be discussed with the client, they actually come in the room. And sometimes every time the client is here, because there are a lot of important tax decisions to make. And so, Catherine, thank you so much for being part of our team. Mm-hmm. And this year's taxes went without a glitch. So, well, I'm saying that, right?
Right.
I mean, there's always ups and downs, of course, mm-hmm. in getting information. But truly, for those advisors out there, you know, get a tax account in your pocket to help you, because it makes a complete difference. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about today, Catherine, was the one big beautiful bill. Mm-hmm. And is it beautiful? And it's big, that's for sure. But one of the things that was really interesting is with Ellen Becker Investment Group, we are continuously doing educational programs. And with the ability to do podcasts and with the ability to do Zooms, we just recently for our clients did a program on One Big Beautiful Bill, and we had over 400 people sign up to listen in. And so I sat down with Catherine and said, you know what, there's a lot of people interested in this. So today we'd like to give you some of the same information that we gave to our clients. And so Catherine, once again, welcome to the show. And I'm just going to let you start on how the One Big Beautiful Act bill differs from the Tax Cuts and Job Act that we had before.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And that's one of the things. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which took effect in 2018, was actually one of the largest changes to tax in a very long time. And I think the thing that affected people the most, or that people are probably most familiar with, is the change in the tax brackets. So with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, here at the end of 2025, that bill would have sunset if we did not have the, I call it the OBBBA, the OBBBA. If we did not pass that in July here of 2025, then the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act would have sunsetted and our tax brackets would have reverted back to closer to what they were in 2017. And I think as most people remembered, so in 2018, one of the big changes was that, say, you used to be in the 15% tax bracket. Now with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, you were in the 12% tax bracket. So there was a lowering of the tax brackets just kind of across the board. Even the highest tax bracket went down. So people really kind of experienced that the most, that the tax brackets widened and that they lowered. So that kind of had a positive effect for them. The other part of that was the change with the standard deduction. Which is that used to be people could itemize. Not that many people did. Maybe about 30% of people have itemized, but the standard deduction was much lower, and they were made much larger by the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, what it does is it sort of removes the sunset clause for some of the items, so it kind of continues on those breaks from the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. But then it also has some more clarification about how these are kind of more going to be implemented going forward, and then it introduces some new deductions and some enhanced credits.
How many people in our firm or clients or in general are affected by this? Is this something that's going to affect a majority of people or just a few?
I mean, I think it really does affect everybody in the sense that when the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act was implemented in 2018, again, it kind of lowered all those tax brackets. That's why all of a sudden Roth conversions became sort of a financial strategy, because now suddenly you were thinking, oh, we have these tax brackets, they're only going to last until 2025, we're in a lower tax bracket now, we're now at 22 instead of a 25, let's do some Roth conversions at 2022. You know, anticipating that the bracket will go up again in 2026, up to that 2025. So now we're even getting sort of a longer extension. So for some people who are also now maybe entering into their retirement phase, they're also going to have this opportunity of maybe doing a Roth conversion in a lower tax bracket. So, I think it kind of really does affect everybody kind of in different places and in different ways. But at least the tax brackets, the standard deduction, some of the changes in the Schedule A itemized deductions, that's kind of going to hit everybody. Maybe even the energy credits being removed, because I do know with a lot of our tax returns, certainly with improvements to your home where you're getting new furnaces, new AC, that's pretty common. That's going to go away. So that's, you know, some people may decide, oh, I'm going to quit, get something in here in 2025 so I can still get that energy efficiency credit, or I'm going to buy an electric vehicle now before September so that I can get that electric vehicle credit. So I think it kind of affects everyone.
What about people who are taking the required minimum distribution? Is there any planning that they should be doing? And, you know, I have to say for listeners, you can see how important this is to understand the tax and the taxation on your individual portfolio. So you can only imagine how great it is to be able to be looking at it all year long rather than trying to just push it ahead at the end of the year or the beginning of the year. And I'm in that same area of having to take a required minimum distribution. There are some people that I know that are fully retired taking the required minimum distribution. And then there's people like me who are still working and have to take the required minimum distribution. Mm-hmm. Can you address that?
Yeah, I think some people will be affected by that, and it really will depend on your individual situation. But for example, say you're just starting to take required minimum distributions, and maybe your required minimum distribution isn't too large. They do have the additional senior standard deduction, which is an additional $6,000. There are some income requirements there, so that it does phase out at the higher incomes. So if you have a, you know, extremely large requirement distribution, some of that $6,000, which is per person, might get phased out. But say, you know, you have a very moderate income, you don't have a super large standard requirement distribution, then that extra $6,000 of standard deduction is going to make a difference for you. It means a little bit less of that requirement distribution may be taxed.
And again, it really pays to take a look at that. And you can almost tell, because it's based on the last year, what your IRA was worth. And sitting down and determining how much can you take before you get taxed, and is any of that money that you might want to give to a charity, mm-hmm. which you can avoid the tax. And I think the other thing is, a lot of people feel that when they take that required minimum distribution, they have to take cash. You can really move a security over. Mm-hmm. You just have to pay the tax.
Right, that's right.
So sometimes you don't want to get rid of a security, mm-hmm. and it's always a good idea to put a security that you love that is low into that account, because you get a new basis.
That's right. So, and also, too, just going with the qualified charitable distributions, that's something people should know who are taking required minimum distributions. And it was true before the OBBBA, but so if you do give to a charity directly from your IRA or your retirement account, you do not pay tax on that. And also, it counts towards the required minimum distribution. So if your required minimum distribution is $10,000 and you give $2,000 directly from your IRA to the charity, then you only need to take another $8,000, and that $2,000 is not taxable income to you. So,
and a lot of people, we're talking not just about the bill, but a lot of people also have several IRAs mm-hmm. in several different places, which is why we really do help our clients consolidate mm-hmm. and get it in one place. But are they also are required to take that distribution from each and every one of those IRAs, unless they can prove that they've taken it from one.
Correct.
And they've covered that total, right?
Right, they have to cover that total. And that is a good, I think, a good argument for consolidating some of your assets, particularly the IRA assets, the tax-deferred assets, because if you do miss the RMD for an account, that, you know, there's penalty involved there. There's extra tax consequences that you have to take care of.
Isn't that like 50%?
It's pretty high. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. Nobody likes giving anything done to go, Sam, much more, more
right, extra.
Than what you might have to do. My guest today is Catherine Watson. She is a tax planning advisor for the Ellen Becker Investment Group. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. I'm the senior wealth advisor and the founder of the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And my guest today is Catherine Watson, and she is one of six of our tax planning advisors for the Ellenbecker tax team. And we're talking about that one big, beautiful act, the new tax act. And we're also throwing in some little spices, too, on other things that we've find is really important, because Catherine and her team sit down and meet with clients, and so they're always getting questions that are unexpected, because everybody's different. Mm-hmm. Everybody's taxes are different, and it really makes such a difference to be planning all year rather than trying to plan at the end of the year and missing opportunities. And Catherine and I were talking during the break, and she said she was looking for a number for charity, and she said, oh, it's just so hard to keep these numbers straight because it's constantly changing. And that's the reason that I know a lot of people do their taxes, and if they're very simple, but it really does pay to have them done professionally, because the numbers are always changing. Catherine, one of the things that I was curious about is people who do standard deductions and they do the itemized deductions. That's another thing that keeps seeming to change. What's mm-hmm. happened with the bill there?
Right. So, like I said, with the advent of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act in 2018, that kind of reduced the number of people that itemized, just because the standard deduction was so large. In order to itemize, you have to exceed that standard deduction, because they're going to let you take that higher amount. So about 10% of people were now itemizing after the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So what that, you know, that's kind of good. Obviously, it makes doing your taxes a little bit easier. You don't have to kind of keep track of everything. But for, you know, most people, and I see this really with our clients, a lot of people give to charity, and they may give, you know, $1,000, $2,000, $500, different amounts, but they weren't really seeing a tax benefit for that, especially people who aren't at the required minimum distribution stage. They can't take it from their IRA. They're just writing a check. They weren't really getting a tax benefit for all the, you know, the giving that they do, and, you know, that's okay. We don't give for a tax benefit. But now here in 2026, they're going to have the ability for people who, if you take the standard deduction and you have given to charity, you will be able to deduct up to $1,000 for single filers and $2,000 for joint filers. So that's kind of just a nice thing because so many people are really generous with their money and they are donating to charities. So for those people who are kind of donating $1,000 or less, you will get a little benefit in 2026 on your 2026 taxes.
And let's just touch a little bit on that as long as we're on charities. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people don't realize that you can have a checking account on your IRA. Mm-hmm. And so I do that. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to write a check for something for a charity, I just write it automatically out of the IRA. And that's a really great tool to have. One of the things that I know has been really great for the Ellen Becker Investment Group is because we're working with our own tax team, we have all that information in-house. So it's literally a phone call away, mm-hmm. and it simplifies things so easily. My guest today is Catherine Watson. She is a tax planning advisor for the Ellen Becker Investment Group. You know, I remember that I worked with one of my clients not long ago, and her husband retired, and she called me up and she said, "Would you please get him a job?" Yeah. Get him a job. How much money can he earn? You know, get him a job. He says, "I can't work. It won't be beneficial for me to work." And so she said he can donate his time. But for him, it was important that he had a wage attached to working.
Right.
So so that's always an interesting conversation.
And I think, too, I don't think people necessarily should, you know, make life decisions based on how it affects their taxes. Right. You know, could be, I mean, taxes are important. And certainly in retirement, income planning is extremely important. And taxes are probably going to have one of the biggest impacts on your assets over anything else. But, you know, when you're making decisions about what makes you happy in life and when you feel fulfilled and, you know, whether I should get married or not based on my taxes, I would definitely not ever recommend making those kinds of decisions based on how much tax you'll pay.
Well, the truth of it is no one wants to pay too much tax.
Right.
And
no
one should. No one should pay too much tax. And that's why it's important to really understand where you are. And when I talk about some of the things that people forget about, at some point down the road, if you have annuities, you're going to be taking money out of those annuities. That is taxable income to you. And if you just wait, you say, "Oh, I've got all these great annuities," and then all of a sudden one day you say, "I think I'll start taking the money," you could be in the highest tax bracket ever. And you have to take that money out first before you take out the money you put in. The same with IRAs. If you have a lot of tax-deferred income, it really makes sense to plan before you get into retirement to understand, you know, we never like to talk about budgeting. We like to talk about managing your cash flow.
Mm-hmm, right.
Because the truth of it is, when you get to retirement, you've been working. Hopefully you've been working. You've been able to establish a nice account, a nice sum of money that you can retire on. That's actually your business. I always say to clients, that's your business, and you're going to want to take an income off of that business, and every now and then get a little bonus to take a trip or to do something. In order to do that, just like any other corporation or any business like mine, I have to plan for that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't just all of a sudden decide, well, I think I'll do this.
Right.
You have to plan for it. So it's really critically important to sit down at least 5 or 10 years before you're retiring, look at where your investments are, look at how much you're putting into your retirement accounts, look at how much money you're going to have outside of those accounts. So I like to look at three buckets. You've got your taxable bucket, which is the money that you saved. Maybe you're going to sell your house and you got the money from your house. Do you want to live in that house or do you think you can eat that house by selling it? Those are big questions. And then you've got your tax deferred account, which is the money that's been going into your 401k or if you've been doing IRAs. And then you've got that tax free account. And that tax free account could be some tax free bonds. Very often it's Roth IRA money. Mm-hmm. And now you've got, where do I take my money from? One of the biggest mistakes that I see clients make is that they'll say, "I'm going to spend down all my cash before I go into my IRA." Oh, dear. You can talk about that, Catherine.
Right. Yeah, so that's one of the things I think we like to look at. So tax-deferred money, you want to kind of take that out in the lowest tax bracket you can get it out. So sometimes it is a plan to spend down from an IRA or a 401k first when it's tax-related. And you're always kind of balancing that with, you know, your age. Plays into that. You know, are you over 65? Are you on Medicare? If you take out too much income from the tax deferred, then maybe you're going to push yourself into a higher Medicare premium. You don't want to do that. So you kind of have to balance those, like you're saying, the buckets. You're taking some money from tax deferred. Maybe you're taking some from your taxable bucket, your cash that you got from the sale of your home or wherever. And then sometimes, you know, you might want to take from the Roth. Roth, of course, you always like to see that be saved and grow for as long as it can be, growing tax-free. But, you know, sometimes an emergency could come up. Maybe you're already right at the top of the tax bracket, and if you took out any more tax-deferred money, you'd go into the next IRMA or the next Medicare premium tier. So you take something from your Roth to meet that emergency or something. But having those three buckets is what helps you be able to kind of plan and you know, make for your life.
I always like to sit down with a client and look at how much Social Security do you have coming in, how much other income do you have coming in, and then we look at what that number is, and we determine how much money do you actually have to spend on an annual basis, and we'll look at that on a monthly basis, because most people's months are not exactly the same, and so we look at the annual overall, and then we say, okay, where is that going to come from? And typically we look at, as I said, all of the income that you have coming in, and then we say we need more. If we take this much out of the IRA, we're in this tax bracket, but we want a little bit more, then we can take some out of the Roth, which is tax-free. So you can control your taxes just by looking at how your investments are made and where they're in. So that also brings up the idea of understanding what's in those investments. You don't want to put straight growth at any one of them. You want a combination of different things, because ultimately you're going to want, where will I maximize the most growth with the less tax on it? And so those are all really important questions. And our team sits down and helps us to determine which is the best direction to go. And everybody always thinks tax-free bonds are great. Not always. That's not always the case. Sometimes, but not always the case. We're going to take a quick break. And you know what I'd like to talk about, Catherine, is one of the things that obviously, as people are listening to us today, they can see that we can control some of the taxes just by how diversified the portfolio is, but by also looking at where to take money from. So with that, when we come back, we're going to talk about the implication with health. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker, and I'm the Senior Wealth Advisor and founder of the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And I have to tell you that this is a really special year for us, because we are going to be celebrating our 30th anniversary of the Ellenbecker Investment Group, and we are also celebrating 36 years on Money Sense, doing Money Sense and bringing education. And the whole goal for me behind Money Sense was never to sell an investment, and we have never sold an investment on the radio show. It was to give you the best possible information we could to make the best decisions about your future, your family's future, your business future. And so today my guest is Catherine Watson. She is one of six of our tax planning advisors. We did almost 1,200 taxes last year and growing. Mm-hmm. If you're a tax person, we're always looking for another tax person, right? She's shaking her head. Yes. That has been absolutely incredible, beneficial for us as advisors, because all the information is right at our fingertips. It's really great for our clients because they don't have to worry about it, and they're getting tax advice all year long. And it's great for our tax personnel, because everything is right there for you too. Right. And so every time we walk into a client, we feel so secure knowing that we are not just giving some advice, but we're giving good advice on all aspects of their portfolio. Mm-hmm. And that has just been an absolute gift for us. So let's talk about that whole idea of being healthy. And one of the things, I'm going to do my plug, because I always tell people, please, please, please go and get a heart test. I just lost another one of my very dear friends, 83 years old, had a massive heart attack. Had he gone and gotten a test, even started with just the little $99 test that checks you, simple to do. He'd have known that there was a problem. Please, please, please. I've lost so many friends to heart attacks that could have been not had, you know, mm-hmm, they would have been, lives would have been saved. So please go and do that. because one of the things that we know is that we can't control the costs of health care. And one of the things that you can do is you can be more aware of your own personal health. And we want you to live a long time because we've worked really hard to grow your money. You've worked hard to save your money, and we want you to spend it. We even want you to splurge and do some things that are maybe outside of your box. But you have to be healthy to do that. So what is the impact of the new tax bill on health care, and how is that going to affect not only health care, but then again, we always look at Social Security?
Mm-hmm. So actually, it is going to have an impact on the Affordable Care Act. And we have a number of clients, particularly people who are retiring a little bit younger before age 65 and they're not going on Medicare. They're usually going on the Affordable Care Act. And prior to this change with this bill, there are premium tax credits that help you afford the cost of the plans that are available on the Affordable Care Act. And now they're going to be very strict about the eligibility verification and that 400% poverty level cliff is returning. So they'd be very strict about that. And what that means is that if you have, if you're an individual or a family and you have income above that 400% of the federal poverty level, you will lose access to the premium tax credits under the ACA. So for example, say you're retired, say you've started Social Security, and say you're taking some funds from your retirement accounts, your IRA, your 401k,
Which are taxable,
and that's for your living, you know, for your quality of life, your style of your life. So you may be pretty easily above those income limits, and so you will not receive the premium tax credit. And what we do try to do in our tax planning is we'll try to kind of, and this is what goes back to the buckets, if you have assets in other buckets that are not tax deferred, then you can use those, keep your income level low. And then you may be able to utilize some of those premium tax credits. However, just kind of for an idea, if you're a one-person family, if your income is above $62,600, then you wouldn't qualify for that premium tax credit. And if it were two people and your income was above $84,600, you wouldn't qualify. You can see those are, you know, fairly moderate income mm-hmm. levels that would throw you over, you know, the eligibility for that premium tax credit. And then the other thing about that is they are also removing the repayment cap. So it used to be, like, say you estimated, oh, my income's going to be such and such amount for this year. Sometimes people will go a little over that, and then you have to pay back some of that premium tax credit. But there was a cap to that. They kind of, like, limited it so you wouldn't have, like, this big surprise of having to pay back a large cap. Now they've kind of removed that. You could have to pay back, you know, the full amount of whatever you went over in excess. So that's going to impact some of the it's definitely going to impact some lower-income families, people who really would be surprised by, you know, having to pay back a couple $1,000s or something at the end of the year. So that will impact people. And obviously it's going to impact some retirees that even maybe have more access to income because they'll have to really – either they'll be over that, you know, premium tax credit availability, they won't be eligible, or they'll really have to be super careful in planning what their income would be for the year in order to qualify for some of those credits. Another aspect, one more change, which is kind of different, is that now there's like an HSA kind of part where the bronze and these catastrophic plans used to be you could not also have an HSA with those, but now you will be able to, and that's a health savings account, which is a tax-advantaged account. Basically, when you save into it, it grows tax-deferred, and when you take the money out, as long as you're using it for medical, you don't pay tax. So now that's going to be available for people getting a bronze or a catastrophic type plan with the Affordable Care Act.
One of the things I do want to mention, two things, is, again, please take care of your health because that is something that erodes a portfolio quicker than you can possibly imagine. And that's also, if you have an indication, maybe it's a family hereditary thing, maybe there's something going on, come in early and talk to us because we know that if you're sitting there with a big IRA and you might have to spend down, you're going to have to spend down from that IRA. And it may make sense now if you're in a lower bracket to do something else with the money, to take out more money now. But that's something individual and each person needs to look at that. And so if you have an idea that you could potentially down the road have a catastrophic issue and a high health care issue, that's something we want to start working on early. I also want to say that too much cash on hand, not a good idea. I always say to my clients, a lot of cash on hand is like having a whole bunch of people standing at the cooler talking and drinking water and not doing anything for you. Your money's not working for you. It's truly not working for you. So don't have too much cash on hand. And everybody's different. My aunt had to have $50,000 cash on hand, and she never spent a nickel. But she slept well, you know? But she never – she wouldn't have a reason to spend $5,000. Right. But for some reason, that was her number. And so she always had that on hand. But it's really important also to make sure that you don't, if you're going into retirement and you're thinking, I've been accumulating cash so I can spend that before I go to my IRA, really come in and talk to us, because that isn't always the best decision. Because as Catherine was saying, we want to have those three buckets. Mm-hmm. You want to be able to take money from different areas of your portfolio to control tax. That's really the only way you can control tax. And so many people have so much money in the IRA, they have to spend it down. They're required to take that distribution out. When you quit work, and if you've got a couple years, like Catherine said, and you're not at that 65 or that 72, 73 now to take out for the required?
Some of them, yes.
Depending on where you are, I had to take it out at 70 and a half. But depending on, we have a couple years there that we can, if you're not earning income, we can do some Roth conversions and still keep you in that lower tax bracket. So that's those are a couple things that are really important to give you some idea of how delicate it can be when you're doing the tax planning. And it just a shift into one of these different categories can make a huge, actually a huge difference.
And I just wanted to go back to your point where you were mentioning that because of healthcare, but that if you're planning for retirement and it's maybe 3 to 5 years away, how there's so much planning that can be done even before you've retired. And it has to do with, like, for example, Roth conversions. You could even be in your 30s or 40s in a certain tax bracket. And now that we have this I know they're saying there's no sunset now to this bill, but obviously if an administration were to change, you know, these tax rates could again be changed by another bill. So, but we know for now, at least until, you know, the end of this administration, we have these lower tax rates continuing on for a few more years. Even if you're in your 30s or 40s, a Roth conversion could be right for you, depending on what your tax bracket is, depending on if you have some cash on hand to pay the tax payment. But also, even as you're starting to get ready to retire, depending again what tax bracket you're in, or maybe you've just retired, you're between 60 and 65, Roth conversions could fit in there, and you could maybe you could then kind of get some of the get your buckets a little more distributed so that you have a little more options in terms of your income planning.
And if you're young and healthy, and you say, boy, in my family, both my mom and dad had this or whatever, you might want to look at, instead of long-term care, you might want to look at life insurance. Mm-hmm. Because I just had a very dear friend of mine whose wife was sick for 5 years, and it was almost $500,000 of cash out of their portfolio. And he said, that's a lot of money from my retirement. And he said, I'm going to have to work completely longer. Had they had a life insurance policy on her and she passed away, even if it was $300,000 or $500,000, when she passed, that $500,000 would have gone right back into the portfolio. The same with the husband. I said, you know, and now he's alone. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, it doesn't really matter. What I have goes to my children. And I said, well, what if your money's gone? Do you want something for your children? He said, well, there'll be some left. I said, not if you get sick. Mm-hmm. And so every single one of you out there listening to me is different. It's really important for me to pass money down to my kids, but I have other clients maybe that don't even have children that say it isn't important, or my kids are doing really well. They don't need a lot of money. Or I've got a client right now whose daughter is marrying a very wealthy person, and she said, well, at least I don't have to worry about her. And I said, as long as they stay married. Right. Because you know what? If they don't, that family's not going to take care of her if something happens.
Right. You never know what's going to happen in life.
You have to plan, and you have to plan, and you have to plan. And truly, we are here to help your plan. What about, let's see, Social Security, we got that covered.
I don't think we talked about Social Security.
No, we didn't do Social Security. And that's a big one for everybody.
It is. I think people had thought that with the, there had been a lot of talk about making Social Security not taxed. That did not happen with the bill, but what they did do, and it's temporary, it goes from 2025 to 2028, they did create this extra senior bonus, kind of like a standard deduction of $6,000 per person. And it does have some income requirements, so it can phase out. But I think I have actually done a lot of tax plans in the last few weeks, and I think it will make a difference for a number of people to have that. Especially if a widow who's maybe she's below the income. I think it's from $75,000 to $175,000. So if you're below $75,000, you're going to get that full $6,000. If you're somewhere between $75,000 and $175,000, you're going to get something, and that's going to help. So especially if you're already taking RMDs, like I said, it's going to help make kind of less of your income taxable. And for some people, because not everybody has outside assets. Some people are living off their Social Security. This extra $6,000 is going to make a big difference, a huge difference.
$500 a month.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, not exactly, but it's going to come. It's basically their Social Security probably won't be taxable.
Right. Wow.
To them. Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break. My guest today is Catherine Watson, and she is one of six of our tax planning advisors. If you're looking and you're in that industry, we would love to have you come and interview with us. Also, let's talk about that salt cap increase and a couple other things that you might want to just consider as you're looking at your planning for 2025. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. My guest today is Catherine Watson. She is one of six of our tax planning advisors at the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And we would love to have you come in and talk to us. And you could go to ellenbecker.com to learn more about our company. And you can give us a call at 262-691-3200. We covered Social Security, but is there anything left on that people need to know? Or should we just jump right into that salt cap increase, which is something that is a little bit complicated?
Yeah, I think Social Security kind of covered everything. Really nothing changed there. What did change is they have that bonus deduction of the $6,000. So that will help some people who were close and maybe were only having a little bit of their Social Security taxed, now maybe none of it will be taxed. But it really applies to kind of all your taxable income. It's just like another part. It's like it's an addition to your standard deduction. So. Let's talk about the itemized deductions. I think a lot of people who are, and it's been a while now. Now people are kind of used to it since the TCJA. They're used to not itemizing anymore. But people who remember back when they used to itemize, you had medical, you had the state and local taxes, you have your mortgage, you have your property
kids.
Taxes and charitable. Yeah, you had the personal exemptions. The TCJA, got rid of that. So the way the itemized portions work, and that's on your Schedule A, is that they need to exceed the standard deduction. The sum of them needs to exceed the standard deduction in order for you to itemize. So most people, again, about 90% of people actually do use the standard deduction given that, and they've gotten larger here in they'll be larger here in 2025 too, so they've gone up even from 2024. But the state and local taxes cap, that got talked about a lot. Those were capped at $10,000, and so now that cap has been increased to $40,000. Just for a number of years, and then it will revert back to the $10,000 in 2030. So, that will help some people. Again, only about 10% of people itemize. So I don't think it's going to throw too many people into the category now they can itemize, but it's there now. So for some people, I think you'd have to be sort of in maybe you were already itemizing, but you were being capped there, and now you'll be able to itemize some more, so your itemized deductions will be more.
What about businesses? And I know that was taken away, too, business expenses like country clubs and dinners. And what are some of, I know you just touched a little bit on the higher earners and businesses. What are some of the other things? And as you know, for us, every year on our employees' anniversary date, out of our charity, we give $1,000 to each employee that they can give to a charity of their choice. And those are great things for businesses to know that they can use those as deductions as well. Can you talk a little bit about some of that?
So we did have the qualified business income deduction, and that was there under TCJA, and it's also here with the OBBBA. And that's really, it allows eligible self-employed people, small business owners, to deduct up to 20% of their qualified business income on their taxes. So if you have pass-through income, you have an LLC, you have an S-Corp or a sole proprietorship, that is a deduction for you. Other people may have seen that on their tax return, too. Sometimes it flows through depending on what your investments are. There's bonus depreciation. This is more for, like, a small business who has they're buying equipment or something like that, a qualifying asset. It allows them to deduct a large percentage of the asset's cost in the year that it's put in service. So that's kind of going to be a big difference for, like, a small business. So they can do that instead of having to depreciate over a number of years. There was a small change with expensing, like, your domestic R&D expenses for businesses. You used to have to amortize those under TCJA. So it went back to the pre-TCJA rules and allows you to deduct those as an expense kind of in that first year that you're using them. So there are a few things for businesses there to use.
And what about the being philanthropic? And I always say, in our life here, in our world, we're always being asked about return on investment. Mm-hmm. And one of the other things that I also love to talk about is return on community.
Mm-hmm. So not really any changes to note for businesses in terms of charitable giving, but as always, that does definitely affect not only just your bottom line and your taxes by giving philanthropically as a company, but just for your employees as well, and then just your presence in the community as somebody who actually cares about the community and helping the community grow as well as your business.
What are some of the other things that you might suggest that people who are listening today are needing to think about as they're entering 6 months away from taxes again? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What are the things that you need? What are the things that they might be wanting to do?
Okay. Well, for example, you know, the energy efficiency credits are going to go away at the end of 2024. So if you do have a home improvement that you want to do, you were thinking about getting new windows, new doors, thinking about improving your HVAC system, I would say go ahead and do that here in 2025 so that you can get the tax credits. Those will go away. They won't be available next year. Same thing with the electrical vehicle credit. That ends, though, at the end of September, so you have a much shorter time to get that taken care of. That might be something you want to do. A new thing will be that some car loan interest, I think it's up to $10,000, will be allowed as a deduction. So if you're thinking about buying a new car and you were going to finance, that would be a thought, although there are quite a few kind of rules and restrictions, and income comes into play there as well.
What if someone is looking at supporting their kids, or what I'm finding is so big right now is supporting their parents?
Okay. Yeah, those are good questions. So I would say this for kids, kind of depending on their age, one of the things that I kind of like as a tax accountant, and my kids were the sort of the guinea pigs on this, they were just like, Mom. But as soon as your child, you know, gets a job, they turn 15 or 16 and they get a job and they're making income, they should open a Roth account. And I would definitely encourage them to contribute. I made my kids contribute more like 50%. But, you know, they should contribute to the Roth because they can contribute up to the maximum allowed or how much they earn, whichever is lower. And start that at 15 or 16 because think about it. They're not going to pay tax on that income they've earned.
Ever.
Well, they're ever. Right, because they aren't going to pay it when they earn it because they're just a student. They're going to kind of have that. They aren't going to have a big federal tax bill unless they're earning tons of dollars, but most aren't when they're first starting out, maybe a few thousand dollars, $5,000 a year. If they do that from age 16 through, you know, 20 or 24, whatever their part-time job is,
and
just sit and grow, that's just the best thing. So, and time in the market is the most important thing, and that will be tax-free to them, you know, for life.
Yes.
So I always like that for kids. And then obviously you have the 529 saving for college. That's a really good way to save for college. It's tax-deferred growth. When you take it out for college expenses, it's tax-free to you. And there's more and more things it can be used for now, too. So,
and so if you're a grandma like mm-hmm. me, mm-hmm. and I'm a nana, I'm always looking at ways that I can help my kids out. And so I know that I can pay my kids' dental bills if they need braces mm-hmm. or if they need things like that. And that isn't considered a gift. As long as you write the check directly to the physician,
okay.
as long as you write that or the doctor, right. It's not considered a gift as part of your giving strategy.
Right.
And so that can be really effective for some grandparents. And maybe we just have a minute left. What about if, you know, thinking about loans, you know, we want to loan money to a kid for their house. Mm-hmm. do you need to have interest paid? And I mean, those are really great questions. And you only have a minute to nail that.
Right. And you do. Okay. So if you loan money to your child, you will have to, if it's, you know, over the $19,000 per person. So it's like, what is it? $38,000 if you're a husband and wife and you're loaning it to your child. So if you do it over that amount, you will have to file a gift tax return for the amount that you, unless you're not doing it as a gift. If it's a gift, you're going to file the gift tax return. If it's not a gift, if it's a loan, then yes, you are going to have to report. You're going to have to charge interest. You will have to report that on your tax return, the parents' tax return, the payments that they're paying to you. You're going to have to report that.
And one of the things I would say is don't be a co-signer. Don't co-sign because, and we never know, things happen. But if your child cannot pay that loan that they're making, it goes against your credit.
Right. And I personally, as a tax person, I wouldn't necessarily advise.
Right. We ran out of time. Yes. We ran out of time. My guest today is Catherine Watson. She is one of six of our tax planning advisors. Please give us a call. We'd love to sit down with you and take a look at what you are. And as always, I hope that I have made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Have a great weekend. Bye.